Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Fulfilled Bible Prophecy study this morning, and I'm William Bell, your host. It's a blessing to be with you, and we thank God for the opportunity to speak with you again on the subject, The Kingdom of Heaven is in Hand. We also would like to give you our call-in number, so you, if you have a pen and paper, you can take this down. Give us a call, ask your question, get your question answered on the air. The number to dial is 646-378-1919. Again, that's 646-378-1919. We also have the chat room open, so if you want to join us in the chat room, you can simply type in your questions from your computer, and we'll do our best to answer them as best as we possibly can. Now, we have been talking about the kingdom of heaven being in hand, as opposed to being at hand. Now let's talk about the difference in terms of what that means. The word at hand is a word that means something had drawn near. In other words, when the kingdom was first announced by John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, also in Luke chapter 3, we find that John announced the kingdom as being at hand, meaning that it was near, on the verge of appearing, but not yet having arrived. Secondly, we looked at the statement in Matthew, or rather, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, but that can be compared with Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, where Jesus himself said, when he came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, he said, "The time is fulfilled. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So even he himself said that the kingdom had drawn near. Now, some people believe that there was a postponement and a delay of the kingdom of God, so that the kingdom has not yet made its arrival. There are others who believe that the kingdom is of earthly nature, and that it is going to be a literal throne of Christ on earth. We've dealt with that in the previous lessons. I'll give you just a point or two in regards to them. Number one, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven being an earthly kingdom, that is foreign to the scripture. One of the reasons is because of Psalm 110 and verse 1, where the Bible says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your foes or your enemies your footstool." Now, the right hand of God is in heaven. When the Bible says Jesus was raised up from the dead to sit at God's right hand, it meant that he would ascend into heaven. And that is precisely what Peter said concerning him in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 30. Acts chapter 2 and verse 30. He said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us until this day. He therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." So it was Jesus who ascended, not David, but Jesus, who ascended to the right hand of God in the heavens. And therefore his throne, his kingdom, is in heaven. It is called the throne of David, but it is no longer on earth. It is a throne which is in heaven. Now, when Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate questioned him as to whether or not he was a king, Pilate wanted to know if Jesus had a kingdom on earth. In other words, if it was going to be an earthly kingdom. And so Jesus responded to him in verse 36. He says, this is John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Now, many of the evangelicals of today who are pro-state of Israel and who are just seething in their minds about getting some war started over in the Middle East that will bring about an end time or Battle of Armageddon and wipe out two-thirds of the Jews. I mean, they love to talk about the kingdom on earth and the great battle that's about to come. But here's Jesus saying, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. So we cannot look, therefore, for an earthly kingdom to be called that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one other point that demonstrates that the kingdom of heaven is not to be an earthly kingdom, and that is the fact that Jesus was to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That, again, is Psalm 110 and verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. He will not change his mind. He will not turn back. But he says, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18, we learn that Melchizedek was priest of the Most High God and king of Salem. In other words, he was a king and a priest at the same time. This is in direct contrast to the Levitical priesthood, because in the Levitical priesthood, kings were forbidden to assume and usurp the authority of the priesthood. Saul was condemned by Samuel, and therefore by God, for offering sacrifices at Gibeah. Furthermore, the priest could not be a king. So under the Levitical priesthood, there was no mention of kings being priests or priests being kings. However, Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and again, according to Genesis 14 and verse 18, as well as Hebrews 7 and verse 1, Melchizedek was both king and priest. That means, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, the text says, "For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests who offer gifts and sacrifices according to the law." Now, we know that the old temple system and its sacrifices have now been destroyed ever since the first century in 70 AD when Rome sacked Jerusalem. And so the Levitical priesthood is no more. However, those who are advocating an earthly throne of Christ in the literal city of Jerusalem today are saying that the temple sacrifices and the priesthood, the law, even the temple being rebuilt, all of those things have to be reinstituted and reconstituted in order for the modern state of Israel to attain its status as a covenantal people of God. That is simply not going to happen. But if it did happen, it would make impossible the ability for Christ to reign on earth, even in that scenario, because Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. And according to Hebrews 7 and verse 14, the Bible says that our Lord sprang out of the tribe of Judah, of which Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. So he cannot be a priest on earth, either then nor now, if the Levitical priesthood is reinstated. And since it was in operation back during the first century, he could not be a priest on earth. Now, perhaps you may remember a text in Luke chapter 17, I believe it is, where the 10 lepers were healed by Christ when he was on earth. That was during the time of the exercise of the Levitical priesthood. And so after he healed them of their leprosy, one of them returned back to give him thanks. And of course, he asked them, what happened to the other nine? Where's their gratitude? But nevertheless, he told them after healing them, he says, go show yourselves to the priests. Jesus was not going to usurp the priesthood. He told them to go and show themselves to the priests, therefore submitting to the authority of the priesthood. Now, what we want to talk about today is a prayer that people have been taught all their lives, which is actually contrary to the will of God in terms of the arrival of the kingdom. Now, at hand means that the kingdom was drawing near, but in hand means that the kingdom has in fact come and is now a reality. That is, today we have the actual presence of the kingdom of God. It is no longer a promise, but it is in fact a reality. It exists today, and those who are faithful children of God have been born into it, having been baptized for the remission of their sins and living faithful lives before God. Now, the prayer that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 was a prayer that was spoken while the kingdom of heaven was at hand. But it is not, therefore, the will of God for us to pray that the kingdom of heaven come, because the kingdom of heaven has in fact already come. It would be the same difference in praying that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and die for us on the cross. He's already done that. We don't have to pray that prayer. And likewise, the kingdom of heaven has come, and hence we do not have to pray that prayer. So let's look at Matthew 6 and verse 9. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. You see, God's will has now been fulfilled. God's will has been done in heaven and on earth, and the kingdom has in fact come. Now, here's a scripture that demonstrates very clearly that the kingdom came within the first century generation, because it was to come before some who were standing in the presence of Christ died. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 27, the Bible says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his holy angels, and he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So here we have the Bible teaching that the Son of Man would come in his kingdom before some who stood in the presence of Jesus died. That means that the kingdom had to come before men living in the first century died. Now, that's been almost 2,000 years ago. Therefore, the kingdom had to come within the first century generation before those men died, or else the only other conclusion is to say that Jesus is a liar and the Holy Spirit has recorded inaccuracies in the Bible. That is simply an untenable position. It is one that cannot be defended. Now, we give you once again our number to call in, which is 646-378-1919. We also would like to invite you to visit our website at www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, that's www.lastdays-eschatology.net. You can also visit us at www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Again, that's www.allthingsfulfilled.com. It's been a pleasure being with you today. We always encourage you to continue to study your Bible. As the scripture says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. We've been talking about the kingdom of heaven being in hand. The Bible demonstrated that the kingdom would come before some who stood in the very presence of Jesus died. And since those people died in the first century, the conclusion is unequivocal that Jesus did, in fact, come in his kingdom within the first century generation before that generation passed away. And that simply means that we no longer pray for the kingdom to come, but we give thanks and gratitude to our God that the kingdom has come, that his word has been fulfilled, and that we have the opportunity and privilege of being in that kingdom by virtue of our obedience and faith through baptism into him. I'm William Bell, bidding you a very pleasant good morning, and we look forward to being with you on tomorrow. May God bless.